how great, how what a privilege it is for us to be here. My wife, she's in the back. Where did you go, baby? Oh, my. It's Valentine's Day, and she's not here. Anyway, oh, the baby. Sorry, we do have a little baby. She's 7 months old, and occasionally she eats, and she eats on her schedule, so I'm sorry about that. But anyway, so for our family, it's great for us to be with you, even though I meet my wife later on this evening, later on throughout the morning service, and I just was going to tell her a happy Valentine's Day, especially for her. So if you're in the lobby, you can hear me, baby. Happy Valentine's Day to you. I already told her already, but I hope that you take a time to do that this day, especially you husbands. You take a time and just let them know how special they are to us, our wives are to us, and even vice versa as well. And during this service today, I know many of us know our family very closely, and we appreciate, and even already today, heard a blessing to my heart. Someone says, I pray for you daily. That means so much to us. And so I give you a little bit of update. Our family, I don't think Janae was with us the last time that we were here, and she's, like I said, 7 months old. And Jasmine, she's five, and she's our aspiring artist, and our aspiring secretary. And so this morning, when we were getting ready for church, and I'm getting ready to speak on the family, so I'm trying to make sure I'm doing everything right in my family, and as she comes, she says, Dad, I need for you to take care of something for me in the service. And I said, Jasmine, I'll do what I can. She says, I will not be there in the service. I'll probably be in children's church, but I need for you to do something for Pastor for me. And so I said, Jasmine, I'll do it. So she's reached in, and she says, make sure you let the church know how grateful we are, and so for welcoming us to their church. And she drew you to the pastor. She said, make sure to give the pastor this note to let him know our appreciation for inviting us to your church. And so, Pastor Core, these are for you. I got to make sure I do mine. I'll leave them up here for you. It's from Jasmine, thanking you as well for letting us be a part of your services here. You know, speak upon the family. If you're here during Sunday school, I mentioned this very briefly to say that obviously it's a very dicey topic because there's such a range of different situations that people have. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a nuance. Everybody has a certain way how they view the family. And we talked this morning during Sunday school specifically about young people and talk about the children aspect of the marriage. Now, as we look this morning and during this service, especially about the key relationship, that relationship between the husband and the wife, I hope by the grace of God that we understand this. Take this with the heart. No pinching, no poking of their spouse, okay? As we go throughout and help, by the grace of God, help us to see how important this matter is. Now, you know, a little bit about my personality coming into this is by nature, I am a very excitable person. Like, I get excited very easily. You can tell me good news, man, we'll both jump up and down. I'll hug your neck. I'll kiss your cheek. You know, I don't care. I usually people, like when my buddy Dave, when he was expecting his next child, he decided not to call me. He FaceTimed me and he wanted to see my reaction because I thought, well, something's going on, you know? I mean, usually a phone call suffices and he calls me and lets me know we're expecting our second child. Man, I'm running around the room, man. I'm so pumped for you, man. I get excited pretty easily about whatever situation that's going on. And I remember as I was sitting in marriage counseling, Pastor Shebel, the one who was doing our marriage counseling, he went through all the tough stuff, you know, be with each other, support each other, you know, he went through all this stuff. And we're getting ready to get close to the day, coming out. And as we're getting ready to close to the day, he's solemnly asked, Adrian, you know, you're getting ready. It's coming around the corner, man. What do you think about getting married now? Any fat last things you want to talk to me about? And he says anything. And I said, man, I'm just excited, man. Let's get it on. Let's go ahead and just say I do. I am thrilled to death about me getting married. Now, you say, hey, you're married. How long have you been married? You know, I've been married now 6 months. I mean, 6 months. I've been married for 6 years. Yeah. Come to your marriage conference, right? Yeah. For 6 years, and even not that being long time, but it was long enough to know that guess what? Breath stinks, feet stink, people say dumb things, you know? It's long enough to know that guess what? You get to the point where obviously it takes that fire of marriage must be relit inside of your heart, that passion between one another. I think sometimes we have been sold a bill of goods to this matter that, and let me back up just a little bit, because when I was excited during that time, I would meet these folks that would come come to me to let them me know their 2 cents worth. And they let me know, say, young man, I know you're excited. Yeah, I'm excited. And I know how excited you are. Just wait. You're going to cool down. You know, reality's going to set in, young man. And you are going to figure out exactly what life is about, exactly what marriage is about. Now, there are two things I say about that statement. Number one, there's an aspect of truth in the matter that the fire will have to be relit. You can't just expect that that's just going to continue. That euphoric feeling of, I'm in love with you, you're in love with me, and it takes nothing, no work in our relationship. Just be there. That's all that matters. Just be there at the dinner table. And man, that's all that I need at that point. That's all it needed in the very beginning. You know that. But as continuing going on, but what's wrong about that statement is that you are assuming, and I am assuming the fact, that that cannot be relit. That fire cannot be stoked. It can grow. Hollywood would say, if you lose that fire, then you must have found the wrong one. You must have messed up. You got to go down that broken road and find the other guy or the other girl that's supposed to truly make you happy. And it's not the case. This is further from the case. Whomever God has placed your life that you are to be married to, and that beautiful relationship that God has given unto you, is going to take some intentional matters, intentional decisions on your part to make that still be lighted up. Now, with that being said, I guess the aspect of the title is how do exactly I picture my marriage. Now, I understand this is a long introduction, but we got to go ahead and start with a little bit of groundwork just so as we get ready to move, we see the big picture of exactly where we're going. You know, there are three ways that we are going to view our marriage, or you're going to view your marriage even right now. There are some that as they look at this and they hear this, number one, there's some that's going to be pleased with second best. There are some, and listen, this is not an insulting thing. Please understand. But quite honestly, I mean, he's not going to change. She's not going to change. You know, she's not really happy. He's not really happy. But we know that divorce papers aren't going to happen. I'm not going to divorce him, Adrian. You know, I can't stand him. He can't stand me. But, you know, we're going to stick together. And really, the only glue in the relationship is a moral responsibility. That is seriously the only thing that is holding these two people together. Because truly, if they had their way, my soul, he'd be gone. Oh, my soul hurts. Her bags will already be packed. But we know, for the sake of the kids, fine. We will just go ahead and just stick it out. We will just go ahead and just huddle together during this time. This is what it is. What it is, it's not going to change. And that is the testimony of my marriage. Some, they're going to be pleased with second best. Now, there are some that say this, you know, that there really isn't any hope. You know, there's no hope for my marriage, Adrian. You know, listen, I appreciate your zeal, Adrian. I really do. But if we talk after the service, Adrian, I'm sure we'll talk about this, and I'll tell you. You know, look, there's really no hope, man. I mean, the divorce papers might as well be signed, you know, for this case. He's not. You don't understand how evil and how awful she is, or how this situation. There is, Adrian, seriously, no hope within the marriage that I'm in. Now, listen to me. I've heard stories that have totally broken my heart, and two for individuals. Hear me out. But I'm saying that we coming into this, there are some that already have their mind up, made up. That there is absolutely no hope, no reconciliation for what is getting for their marriage, what's taking place. But there are some, and what I hope that you are, that we're going to pursue a deeper love. Yeah, you have problems. Yeah, you have spats. Yeah, you stayed up to 2 o'clock in the morning, fighting about the same thing you talk about at midnight. Yeah, you have a bunch of issues that go on. But, you know, we are going to stick together through this. We are going to hit level 2 of our relationship. We are not going to settle for just looking at each other and just living off the fact that we just dated and we ain't got to do nothing now. No, there's going to take some intentional action upon my part, upon your part, to keep this marriage where it ought to be. It's tough. Because, honestly, if I preach about do your devotions, no one really knows that but you. Honestly, now your family might know whether or not did you get up, did you pray, how much you pray. I can talk about that, and you can have this internal battle. I should pray more, but no one really knows how much honestly you pray. But you know what about this thing about marriage? Your wife knows. Your husband knows. Your kids know whether or not these things are true within our lives. And so it breeds a whole nother level of responsibility. And no matter if you're a romantic or not, if you're Mr. Hardcore, don't need affection, don't need love, everybody wants to be at that place where they felt when they first met one another.
Everybody wants that. Something drew you together. Something lit up. Something happened. Everybody wants that again. You know, you say, Adrian, I'm a teenager in this room. Well, you look for this and you take notes. You say, Adrian, it goes about relationships that are so far. How on earth do we picture our marriage? Now, we're going to look, and I know as soon as I say this passage, you know, I honestly was avoiding this passage. I really was when I was getting ready to preach upon the family and different things. But we're going to look at a different set of verses in Ephesians chapter number 5, okay? Ephesians chapter number 5, though, is where we're going to be. I'm going to start reading here, but I'm going to start not reading at the portion that we're aware of, that, you know, husband, love your wives and different things. We're going to start in chapter number 5, but in verse number 1. There's a reason for this, all right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says this: be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Let me read it one more time. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Let's have a word of prayer as we get started upon this matter about marriage. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. Lord, you know I desire a marriage, Lord, that is sweet smelling in thy sight. I pray that you'd help each and every person in this room, Lord, that we would not be pleased with second best. We are not going to be positive that there's no hope, there's nothing that can be done. Lord, that we would take responsibility for that which is not done right or done right inside of our relationships, Lord, and do better and take it to the next level. I pray for every person in every stage of life they may be in. I pray, Lord, that you would just help each and every one of us as we look deeper into your word to understand the importance of this matter. God, empty me of myself, I so solemnly ask. Lord, fill me with thy spirit once again. Say those things you'd have me to say. Put away from my mind the things I should avoid. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done and will do. In Christ's name, we do pray it all. Amen. You know, as you look at this verse, Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 1, you read later on about wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. You read later on about husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and all these other things that are taking place. But before you get to all of that, before we begin to see the role, before we begin to see the responsibilities, before it begins being broken down, before we start getting to the nitty-gritty, before we find out what the resume is, we sometimes skip the line, walk to the job description, and say, all right, husband, love your wives. All right, I'm all over that. Sometimes we jump the gun, and Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 1, number 1, says, hold up before you get there. Before that some young man that's inside this room, you decide to find a girl and you begin dating her or whatever it be. Before, be ye therefore followers of God. You know, I remember Pastor Shetler, the church, whether you know him or not, that's not the point, but he used to say something when I was in school, and any person who's been to Pensacola knows the 7 steps of perfect dating. He would say to find the right person, be the right person, and you'll find the right person, or something to that effect. But sometimes during a marriage, how to keep that marriage where it ought to be is continually still being that right person, to continue to keep that fire going, still being a follower of God, being an imitator of Jesus Christ. So before we go forward, we got to understand that there are some thoughts we have about following after God. Following after God is being an imitator of Christ. You see, this is spoken to believers, so it's already assumed in this context. 2 things is assumed in this context. Number 1, sir, you might have a marriage that is falling apart. Young lady, you could have come here. Your husband's still sitting at the house. He refused to come with you. But before we work on whether or not he should do this or you should be there, are we number 1? Are you even a believer? Listen, we can get some good helps. We might take some good tips. We might give you some hopeful little thing to write down and go try with your husband. But listen, that is relevant if we don't come to the point of understanding that I've got to be a saved husband. I've got to be a saved wife. Is my sin under the blood of Jesus Christ? It's not just talk. It's not just something that is just said. It is so important, paramount in our lives, that if we are not following after Christ, we are carnally trying to take care of spiritual matters. We've got to have the Holy Spirit of God. When he kicked me out and he came inside and he said, listen, I can fill your life. I can help you make decisions inside your life. And in your marriage, I can change it around. But you won't give me a chance if you don't even believe me in salvation. You know, it's understood that, number one, you got to be a believer. But then also a believer that is following after the Lord. You know, before we start talking about the roles, Dad, do you even do your devotions? Before we start talking about our roles, wives, do we take time to pray every single day for our family? You know, if I took as much time to complain about my husband as I did to pray for my husband, maybe it could be just a little bit different inside of my home. I'm just saying that we got to start with step number one of making sure that my following is where it ought to be. Because you see, when we say that we're working on our marriage and we're always working on marriage, everyone says that, and it's so true and it's so important that we're always working on marriage. But what we can truly say is I'm always working on my following. So therefore, I am always working on my marriage. I am working on going after Christ. Hence, I am working on my marriage. I am working at becoming a better Christian. Hence, I am working on my marriage. And the day I stop trying to follow after God the way I should is the day I have hung my hat on my marriage. The day I've hung my hat to say, you're not worth it to work that hard for any longer. Man, we can tell our spouse, I want the best for you. I want these things for you. Let my actions say what my heart so many times is saying over to them. You know, it's spoken to believers and it's spoken to those that are following after Christ. But do you know what it also says is it teaches us how to properly pursue God when I develop the ability to pursue my spouse. You see, following after God and pursuing after him gives me the context to be able to do so about following after the Lord. Because sometimes following after the Lord is not, listen to the word, convenient. Sometimes following after Christ means I have to get up early. Sometimes following after Christ means me get out of my comfort zone and go tell a person about Christ. You see, there's some things that we got to understand that I think that we're thinking that, oh, marriage seat, here it is, great, always happy, always wonderful. Oh, candy canes always fall down from the skies, yay! No! Sometimes following makes me make decisions that are against me, that I don't like. You know, pursuing. I got permission to use this illustration, okay? You know that as an evangelist, I eat a lot with pastors. You can tell, I eat a lot. And as I do go to different pastors to eat, I think this happened early on in our marriage, I think before Josh was even born. But we were coming back, went to a restaurant, and we were talking to the pastor, and we were talking about different things. Yeah, how about this? Yeah, how's that going? Yeah, and we're just talking, and the whole time, and I'm into the conversation. Like I said, I'm into whatever I'm doing, you know, I'm into it. And then I get done, and as I get done, my wife and I, we always have our post-game report of what happened, you know. Did you like it? Did everything go well? You know, yeah, I didn't look dumb. You said something dumb, you know. You know, as we're going to drive down the road, and as you're getting back, do you ever do this, guys? I don't know if you've ever done this before, but as you're talking, you realize something ain't right. You know, you ask the infamous question, baby, are you okay? And you get that infamous answer, baby, I am. Can any man help me? I am fine. Oh boy. You know, and I've been through this. I heard it during marriage counseling. Don't believe it, right? All right. And as we're driving down the road, here we go, and you know, you're fine. What did I do? You know, and everything's good. Yeah, everything's fine. After about 5 minutes of the fine conversation, I finally got to the root, and she finally burst out and said this as we're driving down the road. I don't think you even care about me and care about my feelings. Left field, where did that come from? What? Excuse me? We were talking about Barney and friends, and now I don't care about you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay. Now, illustration, we'll put her emotions over here. You do not care about me, and I'm over here, and this is my emotion. Are you serious? I feed you. I bought you Ghirardelli chocolate. I took you to P.F. Chang's. Now, I cannot be the only guy who goes into defense mode and starts saying what I do right. Man, are you serious? You don't think I care about you? Have I not shown you how I care about you? And then bam, battle on. Midnight, battle on. Trying to get. Now, I'm going to fast forward the conversation to 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? You think I'm kidding. Now, the conversation finally figured out, okay? Here we go. During a conversation with pastors while out to eat, oftentimes I would not let my wife have a word. I would answer her questions for her. Many times things would happen and I would go ahead and just butt right in and I would say things for her. I would step in her way. That was the problem, okay? Now, emotion-wise, it came out to her as thinking, oh my soul, you don't even care about me. And honestly, in defense, you ladies are going to love this. In defense, even the clarity of mind where she was at, she probably could not even articulate the fact that that was the action that triggered this emotion. Really, probably didn't even know it. But she did know emotion triggered, you don't care about me. Now, on my side, emotion that came up, fight, fight, fight. Come on, I'm going to tell you that I am right. I didn't even mean to do that. That was pretty cool. But it's kind of like, I am doing what I'm supposed to do. Now, as I'm over here, she's over here. Meanwhile, the problem is, Adrian just let her talk during a conversation. I can't stand you. Why did I marry you? Meanwhile, if we just let her have a time in the conversation. I can't stand it. I take care of you. I love you and I've loved you every day. Meanwhile, the problem sits right here. Now, why is it so important, this matter about pursuing is so important? I'm spending way too long here, but follow me. Pursuing. Jasmine, and I know this is an illustration within an illustration, but it's important, okay? My daughter Jasmine loves the game hide and seek. It's cultic how much she loves that game. She hides in the car. I mean, blanket over. Daddy can't find me. You know, when sometimes I decide I'm going to play with Jasmine hide and seek. Now, and when I play hide and seek, I play to win. I go hide. We live in a 40-foot trailer. She still can't find me. I hide. She finally comes back to my wife. Daddy, I mean, come back to my wife. Mommy, I can't find daddy. Then I come from out of my spot. Yeah, I won, you know? You know, for hide and seek to me, it's a game of winning or losing. It really is. I want to win. You know, the point is not to find me. That's the point. Jasmine plays hide and seek, listen closely, because she wants to be found. She just, it doesn't matter. If she did not, if you find her in 5 seconds or an hour, the fact is she goes to a spot because she wants daddy to take time to find her. Listen closely. Guys, instead of us getting mad, let us pursue. Sometimes that emotion that is triggered, it sometimes may be saying, come and find me. Don't scream and yell and defend and go on and go on and say about everything you're right. No, just come find me. Find why this is taking place. Pursue after me. God says, follow after me. Well, that's dumb. That's inconvenient. That is just crazy. Follow. Follow. And my pursuing after Christ serves as an example how I ought to pursue after my spouse. You know, wives, do you even know what your husband cares for? Do you even know what your husband likes or dislikes? Do you know any of those things? Then I dare say that if we're not following after God, I sure enough know that we are not pursuing after our spouse. Now, I know I spent much time in, but I'll go through these quickly, these 2 points right here that kind of tied in for what I said. But you cannot divorce your spiritual relationship with Christ from your human relationship with others. Those two are directly linked together. And listen, I said this at the end, but it's not time to lawyer up when emotional needs are not met. It is time to suit up and pursue after the spouse that God has given unto us. Be therefore followers of God. pursue one another. Now, there's another thought about thoughts about, now let's look at this, about walking in love. Because he says this, be therefore followers of God. And he says this, ooh, right before we get to that, but it's fine. Right before we get to that, as dear children. Now, that point's so key. I love the song, He Loves Me As If He's My Only Child. And my mom, I tell her all the time that I'm her favorite child. And I make sure she knows it, you know. Like, eventually, if you tell a person something long enough, they're going to believe it, you know. And so I want to make sure she knows I am the child. I have three brothers. I have two other brothers, three of us. And I said, I'm going to be her favorite son. And as I tell her that over and over again, and I'm halfway kidding, you know, as I tell her that I'm her favorite child. But do you know what favorite child gets? He gets to sit in the front seat, you know what I mean? He gets to lick the bowl, you know what I mean? He gets some privileges around the house if he is the favorite there. Now he says, look, I don't want you to follow, but I want you to follow me as a dear child. You know what dear child gets? Privileges from one another. You know what I'm saying? Now, as we follow after one another, is that the relationship that I would consider to my spouse as a dear relationship that I share with my spouse? Or is it more so that me and ESPN is my dear child? Or is me and Pinterest my dear child? Is me and something else standing in the way of what my relationship ought to be with my spouse? I know I spoke about it with the children, and I know I said that many times that can get in the way of standing there. But listen to me, sometimes it might just be good when we lay in bed at night to put the phone down. Sometimes it might be good to go ahead and turn the TV off. Sometimes it might be good just to step back and say, I care about you more than I care about these things. Get out of the garage, leave the car alone, and get inside. Leave that thing alone that is so important to you and get where you ought to be, because I am pursuing you as a dear child. You're special unto me. He says, following. Now let's look secondly at walking in love. Now, lesson number one, whew, this is so important, is when you talk about walking in love, let's look at a misconception about walking in love. Many people say this, Adrian, if he or she just loved me, right, then I would love them properly. Adrian, listen. If my husband decided to step up like a man and love me like he ought to love me, now it'd be something different. I wouldn't be a mess. I'm trying to keep the house picked up. If he loved me like somebody loved. Now listen, and I would love her if she decided to get off her tail and try to do something that pleased me every now and again. Sometimes we got to think about this. Context is spoken to believers, those who have been saved. You go ahead and say that to Jesus Christ. Well, Christ, if you love me perfectly, I would obey you. Oh, if you care for me so much, then listen, I would obey you like I should. You tell that argument to the perfect love of Jesus Christ, who did everything for us, who laid down his life and commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You tell that to the perfect love of Christ, that if he loved you right, you'd obey him. Man, we take an evangelist. It takes 15 services. It takes 15 prayer meetings for us to even think about obeying him. Amen. So let's not say if we walk in love, hey, if he walked in love, that I will surely just follow suit. So we think about that, and like I said, it's just a thought, but Christ had quite the love for us. But do you know what walking in love does, though? Walking in love changes the perspective I have about my spouse. Time is going by here. You know, I brought these here. I ordered them from Zinni. Wasn't sure how it was going to work out, but I ordered them anyway. But these sunglasses here. Now we use these sunglasses here as an illustration of what I mean. Because walking in love, you know, we use the term as well of walking in the Spirit, which I believe, important key point in the Christian life, is just making sure I'm where I ought to be. I ought to be walking in the Spirit, a relationship with him. Think about that with love. You're walking with love. I wake up and I'm walking in love with my spouse. She hates when I just run off without kissing goodbye. Well, if I was walking in love, I would make sure to kiss her before I left. You see, it's not a matter of get the checklist out. All right, kiss her before I go to work. If I come back, then make sure I bring this. Okay. All right, baby, I did it. Got it. Oh, yeah. I got the love boat taken care of. I got that all taken care of, you know, the love list. There you go. Already taken care of. You ought to be happy now. No, it's a matter of just walking in love, and my actions will then morph to what they need to be at that right time in my life. Now, but if we're not walking in love, here's how we can see something. I'll put this to be my negative glasses and these to be my positive glasses that I have over here. I knew a guy in Ohio. His name was Rick Tremonte. We used to stay at his house many times as we traveled across the country. He was a great guy. Him and his wife were terrific. They were such blessings to us as we were traveling from here to there. We got a key code to go to their garage. We could stay at their house, like at leisure we could stay at their house. I remember one time we were getting ready to go to church, and he said, "Don't waste your gas. Drive with me." And I said, "Sure." My wife and I and Jasmine jumped inside the car. And as we jumped inside the car, we were driving down the road. And as we were driving down the road, this guy comes and makes a turn toward us. He is all in our lane, not just in our lane, nearly driving in our lane towards like a head-on collision. And then he comes around just like that. You know how when you get scared, you start saying things you ought not say, like, "Good night, what's wrong with you, idiot?" You know, as you're sitting there like, "What's wrong with you, man?" And as we're driving down the road, man, we're like, "My goodness," light flashed before my eyes, and he's driving the car. And as he's driving the car, I'll never forget what a man said. Driving the car. Now, guys, that is a tough turn right up there. I feel bad for that guy. "Excuse me," you know, "Mr. Optimistic. The world blows up. At least I didn't blow up." You know, it's just everything's great. You know, I had these glasses when I saw that car. "Man, that fool coming around here, driving like an idiot. Man, here he comes, this way, that way. Oh, man, what's wrong with him?" But you know, he put his glasses on like this, and he said, "You know what, that's a tough turn right up there. And I think it's, you know, it's hard for anybody." You see, do you know what this comes into play? Husband, if we're not walking in love, husband comes late home from work. Bet you're just hanging out with the boys. Didn't probably have nothing to do, did you? Well, the kids and I are still here. We still could have used your help. Could have used your help around the house a little bit if you decide you're going to come home early. But, you know, if you're going to stay out there all day long, you working overtime? Are you busy? What's going on? Why are you going to come home late? Same thing could happen. But if I'm walking in love, come home late. "Is everything all right? I mean, because usually you're here by 4. Is everything okay?" Do you not see how the same life circumstances can happen to any couple? But as these circumstances happen to any couple, the couple that is walking in love with one another can experience the same nonsense, can experience the same attacks from the enemy, but the difference is they're walking together in love, and come whatever, they're going to stick together. How do you view your spouse? So needy. She's so needy. Always wants this, always wants that. Got to have it on her schedule, got to have it on his timetable. "Oh man, he's always busy about this, busy about that. Never had time for me to get, he's always busy about everything else." I'm just saying that the way that we view one another and walking in love is going to determine our future that we have with one another as well. You know, not only that, but there's a stern warning in the book of Proverbs, and I know I'm speaking to the men on this case. Applications for all, but I'm speaking to the men especially. In Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse 20, the Bible talks about an odious woman. Basically, the earth cannot handle or cannot stand an odious woman. And I thought about odious, I thought, a mad woman, you know what I mean? Diary of a Mad Black Woman, you know, coming after you, you know, watch out, baby, you know. And I thought, that's odious right there. But do you know what odious means? An unloved woman. Earth cannot stand an unloved woman. I don't think any wife starts out and says, "I want to take my kids and leave." But an unloved woman will. I don't think anybody starts out and says, "I'm going to make these kind of demands and I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to put my foot down and say what I got to say." I don't think naturally that takes place, but an unloved woman will. Story that broke my heart. Another friend I went to school with sat next to in class. We got saved about the same time. I mean, saved. We got married about the same time. And as we got married about the same time, I remember, you know, I met, I mean, just in passing, met his wife. I heard he was in ministry at a certain state, and I remember how he was busy about doing what the Lord had called him to do. Didn't speak to him directly, just heard that he was busy serving at his church. And I decided, you know, about 2 or so years, I was supposed to be in that area, and I was like, I was going to go see and see how he was doing. When I asked about him at one point, though, I asked a friend about, hey, so-and-so's still around. I called his name. One of my friends, dear friends, looked at me and said, Adrian, are you serious? Are you messing with me? And I said, no, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, him and her are not together. And I thought, oh, another one. Come on, man, this is sad. Come on. You know, I'm thinking, he said, but do you not know anything else? And I said, no, I'm sad to hear they're not even together anymore. Well, not only not together, but she took the kids away. Ah, they have 3 kids. That's so sad. Took the kids away like that. Not only did she take the kids away, but she took the kids and hid in the hotel room. And I don't know exactly all the ramifications of what took place, but she filled a bathtub full of water and she drowned every one of her children just to get back at her husband. The earth cannot stand an unloved woman. I'm just saying, we better take very close stock. Husbands, don't answer this out loud. Husbands, do you love your wife? Adrian, you know I love my wife. I die for her right now. If a bull's coming, I step right away, brother. You know I love my wife. Now, stop that whole bravo, that whole macho thing. Stop that. And during later on, during today, sometime, you ask your wife, honey, do you feel I love you? It don't matter what you said before. It don't matter how fat your paycheck is. It don't matter about anything. If your wife looked at you and said, no, I don't feel love, get out the hammer and nails and get to work. You got to walk in love. He says, be therefore followers of God. So it is assumed that you have to follow after me. You have to follow after God. Following after God serves as an example of following and pursuing your spouse. So before we talk about the job descriptions, let's talk about the here and now. You've got to follow God. Now, after you do that, walk in love like you ought. That means affecting every area of my life. You know, I see if to picture our marriage, and listen, I'm almost done. But as I picture marriage altogether, how does this picture look? This picture looks simply like this. That there is intentional relighting, intentional refueling of the marriage commitment that we have for one another. I brought up this with me today too as well. Some lighter fluid. I asked Pastor Utley to take this and this to the stage. I know he was nervous, no matter if he said anything or not. I told my wife I'm going to set a fire on stage today. And at first she said, oh, then she said, it's okay, I trust you. And I said, I've got a good one. Now, I'm not setting a fire, but you know, in the very beginning, I was at a pastor's church in West Virginia. His name is Pastor Charlie Gilbert. And I was at his church. We went on a day, and we took a little bit of a road trip, and we went out to a state park, and we grilled. And as he pulled out the charcoal, grilling is something I've always wanted to do. I've not been good at it, but I've said, I want to learn how to grill. And I watched him as he did the grilling. Now, my grilling experience was this. I took the charcoal, I put it down, I sprayed a little lighter fluid, lit it on fire. I let it go for about, you know, 30 seconds, a minute. Then I put a burger or so on there. And then every time the fire went down, I went, psh, just like that, fire, psh, fire, psh, fire, until the burger was cooked. Now, when we took the burgers inside, our burgers tasted just like lighter fluid. When I took them all inside, they were awful. Told my wife, it's okay, you do not have to suffer through this. And we decided to throw those burgers away. But I wanted to learn how to really do it. And he showed me the proper technique and the proper steps. And there I learned how to do it. But you know, Adrian, why do you bring that up? I ask this questions of many people. A guy who's been married for 40, 50 years. Those are my heroes, by the way. Been married for 40, 50 years. So how do you do that? I ask many people that question. How do you do that, man? 30 years.
Do you know a simple picture that I see that happens when a marriage gets to that point? Is you got two people, sinners saved by grace, that have a fire in between them. And that fire in that marriage sometimes is blazing and sometimes it dies down. But there are two people who stand at that marriage and look at that fire and they simply have some lighter fluid, and every time it starts to get a little bit low, they decide to intentionally refuel that fire between one another. Problems come, heartaches come, they still keep that fire going between. Oh man, situations may come of life. Children may do things to hurt our feelings. Man, things may happen inside the work. I might get laid off tomorrow. So-and-so may die. So-and-so may happen. It don't matter. We stay together because we intentionally refuel the relationship that God has given unto us. Oh, it's not as soon as the fire goes down. Didn't work out, huh? You can take the kids for a little while. I'll take the kids for a little while. We'll make it work. No, sir. It is time to bust out some fire. And if I had to eat crow to do so, get your fork ready. If it's time to swallow hard, then bring a glass of water. Because it's time that my marriage is worth more than that. You know, during this invitation, it's twofold, I know. But I just wonder if there'd be any man who'd have the guts. Maybe you already know the answer to this question, but if you would ask your wife, baby, do you feel that I love you? If you already know the answer to that question, there's really no, the little fight we had on the way here today, she's going to say no. Situation that just happened last night, then we didn't really go to bed. We didn't even talk to each other last night. We have a problem. You know, ladies, if he ain't gonna meet my needs, I ain't gonna meet his needs. You might go on. If that's your attitude, is that truly walking in love? You know, this marriage relationship is the most attacked. It's the most thing, I believe, under Satan. Obviously, an attack of the family, because if that can break down, then so many things break down along with it. But would Tabernacle Baptist Church just have a resolve and a passion that there's going to be a intentional refueling of their marriage life and their marriage commitments? Can we bow our heads really close? We'll bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment.